welcome to Temple of Health Radio Show. This is Dr. Susan Kalb, and today I'm pleased to have back with my guest, Tricia McCannon. Today we're going to be talking about Atlantis, Ascension, and the Circle of Healing. There's a lot of energetic changes on the planet right now, even in the solar system, and there's a lot of information about portals. We'll cover that in this hour. Welcome back, Tricia.
Oh, what a pleasure to be with you always and our wonderful listeners here in Atlanta and the whole Southeast.
So I had heard just on the Internet, some of the educational stuff on the Internet, saying that there are a lot of portals opening now. Is that related to the energetic shifts that are happening?
Yeah, I think there's a lot that's happening. One of the things that has been happening sort of that's been difficult this summer for a lot of people is we've had seven planets that have been in retrograde, and most of them are on one side of the Earth. In other words, you know, kind of lopsided. And as we know with retrogrades, they pull energy back, they retard forward movement, and they cause us to have to go back over things that we thought we had already dealt with. So the good news is now in September, now that fall has finally arrived, is that Mercury, which is a planet of communication and contracts and transportation, emails, planes, trains, automobiles, so forth, that finally went direct on the 19th or 20th of August. And so sometimes we're still in the shadow of it for a few days, but certainly by the last part of August, we started feeling a little relief. On Monday, I think it was the 27th or something like that, Mars went direct. And Mars has been at 28 degrees of Capricorn, which is business and structure. And so it's been pulling that energy backward, making things be delayed, postponed, and so forth. And so that has finally gone direct as of the last week of August. And then the week of September the 6th that we're in today, Thursday, the 6th, Saturn, which rules structure, business, corporations, governments, the legal system, all of that, Saturn finally started going direct, and it's been at 2 degrees of Capricorn. And, of course, Capricorn's also business. Saturn rules Capricorn. And so it depends on where you were with that. If you were a Capricorn, you might have been super, super busy but kind of overburdened. If you were having that square, like an Aries or a Libra, or opposing it, which would have been a Cancer, you might have found yourself really having all your projects delayed, delayed, delayed. So that energy is now starting to move forward. We still have Pluto retrograde, which, of course, will probably be true until around December. Pluto's retrograded usually around from June to about December every year, so we're used to that. We still have Uranus retrograde, which is computers and technology. So there are people who have been having all sorts of computer glitches, and, you know, like for me, I've just discovered my wonderful website I have. It looks like, you know, WordPress isn't supporting my platform anymore, so I'm going to wind up having to build a completely new website sometime this fall. I'm like, oh, my gosh. And, of course, I love my website. It's great. People go there all the time and find books and classes and DVDs and presentations and seminars, but all the things I'm doing until I literally build a new website, I can't update for the new conferences I'm speaking at this fall. So that's a classic Uranus retrograde. So we're not quite out of the woods yet, but we're coming into more forward motion. And those are energetic doorways that have to do with movements in time and space. But I think you're speaking about more like stargates, aren't you?
Well, portals, energetic portals that are opening, I mean, sometimes people are disappearing into them, that's true, but not always. You know, sometimes they're just energetic portals that if you're in the area, your spiritual hearing's much better, and, I mean, if they're enough energy, you can even levitate, that kind of portal.
Well, those, I think, are natural portals. And
It's
interesting because in this maybe this retrograde where you get to go back over, you know, your past, I started cleaning out half of my garage. And And, you know, it was pretty clean anyway, but I discovered all these amazing pictures from sacred journeys that I've taken. I've taken groups to Italy probably 17 times, England at least 20 times, France, Egypt, Peru, Mount Shasta, Poland, Mexico. I found all these incredible images. And in fact, next year in the fall, I'm hoping to take a small group of about 16 pilgrims on the Mary Magdalene tour through the south of France, where we go to Rennes-le-Château and Le Saint-Baume and, Carcassonne and Sainte-Marie-de-la-Mer and all those amazing places where Joseph of Arimathea took Mary Magdalene and Mary the Mother. But I've been looking at all these images, like talking about retrograde of the last 25 years of sacred journeys and sacred trips. And I have to tell you over and over again, Mount Shasta, France, England, there's so many of these places. Egypt, literally we would call in these UFOs and these, you know, higher dimensional ships would literally come in. And I remember taking a group to England, and I had about 450 people up on the Tor, which is a very tall hill in Glastonbury, which was the ancient island of Avalon. And, you know, the reporter, you know, interviewed me beforehand, like, you know, tongue-in-cheek, like, sure, you're going to call in UFOs. Like, you could just tell he didn't believe any of it. And then, of course, these ships started showing up overhead, and some of them were actually quite large. And the next day, the article came out, you know, Tricia calls in, has an event that's out of this world. And, you know, I think the reporter was as blown away as anybody that it actually happened. But certainly, that's an example of one of those sacred sites, Avalon, the mm-hmm. Mist of Avalon, we've all heard of that, the Ladies of Avalon that became Glastonbury. And, you know, Chalice Well is there, where Joseph of Arimathea set up the first church in the world in 37 AD. And the Tor is there. Close by, not too far away, is Avebury, another sacred site. Stonehenge is a couple hours towards London, going towards the east, another sacred site. Mount Shasta, I mean, I've taken groups there 3 times, and each time we've had contact with members of the Great White Brotherhood. Sometimes ships have shown up. Sometimes we've actually had masters appear to us and begin to teach us. The very first time that I took a group of 13 of us there, we went down into the Pluto Caves, and we did this meditation, and we were actually contacted by a being who talked about the underground cities of very advanced civilizations, spiritually advanced, very long-lived. Some of them are the remnants of these, you know, higher consciousness people from Lemuria, higher consciousness people from Atlantis, and, of course, some of the star beings that who are there, who are really holding the light for unity consciousness mm-hmm. and really hoping that humanity will make the shift out of this incessant struggle with duality that we seem to be so committed to, you know, and we create television shows about it and horror movies about it, and it's always the light and the dark, the light and the dark. It's almost like we don't know another story. You know, what would happen if we did tell ourselves stories of, you know, love, healing, unity, and begin to shape the minds of the young people in that direction instead of continually programming them into incessant warfare and conflict and, you mm-hmm. know, violence. It would shift our paradigm, wouldn't it?
Right. Well, the information on the Internet is that the Anshar are actually from our future, like way in the future, and their timelines became unstable, so they sent people back to stabilize the timelines. And but they do live a long time. They communicate with people, especially the priest class communicates with certain groups on the surface. The connections are at both the Arctic, the Antarctic, and at Mount Shasta. I don't know if there's other connections, but some people I've interviewed on the show have actually been taken through portals to the inner earth by the Anshar and educated and shown this. the cities, which are extensive. You know, there's millions of people. And
yeah,
what's interesting, I don't think I told you this, or maybe I did, but there's a guy that works for the government that has a machine, and whenever the government uses a machine, he has to be there. So, in other words, he's not giving the technology away at all. But when it's a machine that looks down, like through the earth, and no matter where you go on the earth, they say, when you look down with this machine, you see that the earth is hollow after a certain, you know, number of miles down. So that at least his data would show that the earth is hollow, you know, that, I mean, you know, because you don't know. I mean, we're taught in school that there's molten material in the earth. And I'm not sure. I think the Anchar is like fourth density. So there's also a dimensional factor in there, you know. So I don't know whether the inner earth is all third dimensional or some of it's, you know, fourth density. But the reports from the Arctic when they explored the Arctic was that they found the entrance to the inner earth. So
yes, I think that's
you
very
know, there's actually you can actually read the diaries and the information that they got.
Earth. Yes.
Right.
Admiral Richard
yeah.
Byrd.
So and exactly. They weren't expecting it. They didn't go there expecting to find anything like that. So it wasn't like they were looking for it. So
right.
And
yeah.
then Antarctica,
and, you know,
of course, is connected. Yeah.
Well, you know, Admiral Richard Byrd went to the Arctic, as you say, and there are literally photographs showing, you know, that opening in the North Pole. And then, of course, he mm-hmm. had also done a flyby mission with Antarctica. And he was a 32 or 33 degree Mason, and he dropped the American flag on Antarctica. And that is why, after World War II, he was chosen to head up an expedition called Expedition High Jump that went down
right.
To try to explore Antarctica, because they had gotten intel that 100 of the German submarines had disappeared. Some of the top scientists were nowhere to be found. They weren't with the Russians
mm-hmm.
or the Americans. And so he went down to find out if this was true. And I have actually seen pictures of this space in Antarctica that they called New Berlin, that was like as the earth began to, they began to get into the temperate area in that led into the inner earth. There were, you know, meadows mm-hmm. and valleys and so forth. And the Nazis had gone down there. Hitler,
yeah.
he may have been, you know, crazy, off his rocker, demonically possessed, but he was brilliant. And he had sent an expedition down, I think, in 1930, I think it was 1937 or 39, might have been 39
mm-hmm.
after he became chancellor. And they had actually discovered UFOs inside of a big cavern. And they brought some of them back and were trying to back engineer the technology, which is, of course,
mm-hmm.
why the Allies were frantic to wind up, you know, doing the Normandy invasion or landing, really before they were ready, because they understood that if Hitler and his scientists managed to back engineer that technology, the war would be lost. And
right.
they could fly the ones that were working. But when Admiral Byrd went down in 1947,
he had already done it, because he encountered the ships.
He did. He had 4,700 troops. He had battleships. He had all sorts. He had
mm-hmm.
planes. He had all these things.
And basically, he was beaten back. Yeah.
It was the Nazis that had commandeered those UFOs came up
mm-hmm.
and, you know, used laser technology. Well, at least we assume
no
that.
No match for
cut
that.
Cut his ships
for that
in
era.
Half. But, you know,
yeah.
there's a report, though, that he wrote himself, where he was flying in a plane, and suddenly he wound up kind of in that, things got warmer and warmer, like that kind of hidden valley I was talking about,
mm-hmm.
and he found himself going inside the inner earth, and he was flanked by two UFOs, and they led him in, and he had a wingman with him, and he landed, and they had the wingman stay with the plane, and he was taken
mm-hmm.
and wound up meeting this male white master who claimed to be about 150,000 years old. That's really long,
mm-hmm.
old, you know. And
old,
that he
yeah.
basically said that, you know, that they, of the inner earth, that there were seven races that lived there, that there were
mm-hmm.
seven major cities, that there were millions of people, that they all lived in peace and harmony, And that they pretty much let the surface people do their own thing and let us alone. But at the point that we had discovered the atomic bomb, then we suddenly threatened the existence of the planet and also ripping...
We were doing all these underground tests, too. That's got to affect them, you know?
Yes, ripping holes in the fabric, literally, of the dimensions. And he said this would not be allowed. And Admiral Byrd had been chosen as an emissary to go back and tell the United States government. And, you know, he came back. There was a big ticker tape parade and so forth. And he tried to tell people, but of course they wanted him to shut up. And he wound up writing a secret journal. And what's interesting is I gave a whole incredible three-hour presentation on Antarctica. And I will probably re-release that in... maybe the beginning of this coming year, through Dolores Cannon. You know, she wrote like 19 books, Nostradamus and many other subjects, and she's lovely, and her daughters are great, and Dolores has gone ahead and passed over to the other side, but her two daughters, Nancy and Julia, are, you know, continuing to run Ozark Mountain Publishing in Arkansas with the publishing company, and they're setting up a university, and they've asked me to teach for them. So I will develop a class for them on a lot of these secrets with Antarctica. But what was interesting is when I was going to speak at a conference to give this, I wound up being at an airport. It was a delay in my flight, and I was sitting down and eating, and there weren't enough tables in the airport for this little restaurant, and so I invited a guy to come sit across from me, and he wanted to know what I did. And, of course, you know, I was like, well, I speak at conferences and write books. Oh, well, what do you write books about? Well, I thought, oh, my gosh, you know, he's never going to understand. But I said, well, you know, I'm speaking at a conference. He said, well, what are you speaking on? I said, well, Antarctica and Admiral Byrd. It wound up that this was actually a relative. He was a nephew of, or great-nephew of Admiral Byrd. And I told him what I knew, and he confirmed that everything I had said was true and much more. And that
that's a great synchronicity. That's great.
And that the government had basically, you know, wanted to shut him up because, of course, he was highly decorated and very respectable, but they really didn't want this information to come out. And so, you know, you can understand in the late 40s, we just come out of World War II, that they were a little freaked out about things. But now I think it is time for it to come out.
Yeah.
Don't you?
And the other thing you can tell the audience about is that how did that technology that the Nazis found get there? Because it wasn't just like abandoned, you know, by chance. I mean, that's a great civilization with all sorts of stuff down there. It's a very, very large ancient civilization that just happens to have spacecraft, you know, like that.
Well, unfortunately,
I mean, it just wasn't a bunch of abandoned flying saucers, you know.
Well, you know, I think what we have really is at least three civilizations that are on this planet. We have the inner Earth civilization that's highly conscious, very aware, and all about unity, and have been holding the light and the hope and the dream that we that live on the surface would get with the program. We have people that are on the surface, like you, me, our listeners, many of the wonderful clients and people that I, you know, see and teach at these events and conferences that are good people. You know, we want to do the right thing. We're somewhat caught in the rat race of being like hamsters on the wheel of, you know, having to work really hard to make the money to pay the bills. And so we have a limited amount of time to, you know, do all the fun things that we might want to do because we don't always have the funds. But we're trying to have better food. We're going for getting rid of pesticides. We're going for organics. We're paying attention to our mind, body, and spirit, and we're trying to help the animals and the ocean. And, you know, I mean, I belong to probably 20 different, you know, help the world organizations. So we're trying to do the best we can, and we don't have any malice in our spirits. And then you have really kind of the military-industrial complex of the secret government that has had a lot of power for a long time. And some of those people, of course, are very good, and I mean, they're wonderful people in the military. Don't misunderstand me. But they're sort of a secret military that has been building underground bases for a long time, and they really kind of want to do the mind control thing with the people on the surface. They want to keep fossil fuels in place because that's where they've gotten most of their money. They want to make us sicker so that they can sell us more pharmaceuticals and keep us, you know, on the leash in terms of our health or our lack of health. You know, it's like Monsanto, you know. I mean, who in the right mind would create plants that can't germinate, that if you don't continue to buy them from Monsanto or Big Brother, you have worldwide famine? That's just insanity, all in the name
of
greed.
And it's really, really dangerous because, you know, if you only have a couple of strains of wheat, for example, and then you get a disease in them, it'll wipe out the world's wheat population or corn population. You have to have genetic diversity in order not to have pesticides and, well, pests and virulent organisms and even bacteria and fungi wipe your crop out. So it's not even paying attention to environmental principles.
You never do that.
It's way too risky.
And I think that this is a smaller group, but because this group is funded by the, 3% of the world that has 94% of the world's wealth, you know, they can buy up everything from, you know, politicians and
judges,
and, you know, even
Congress.
If those people are basically good people. Those politicians.
Well, they blackmail people, though. It's not just buying them.
Exactly.
They actually blackmail them. They have these parties where they either drug them or, you know, invite them to have sex with underage girls not knowing they're underage and photograph them. And I mean, basically, it's blackmail in many, many cases. So, you know, you've got to feel sorry for some of the people that are being blackmailed because it's, you know, there's a lot of it going on.
Yeah, I think that that is the true. I think that there are good people who want to do the right thing, and many times they don't because their families are threatened or because their loved ones are threatened.
We've heard that Trump's family was threatened, you know. And he had to do some things he didn't want to do. I won't go into it on air, but I don't think anybody is, you know, if you get close enough to the action, you can get killed, you can get threatened, or you can get compromised with photographs and other, you know, other things that they use to blackmail you. I mean, but that's like standard operating procedure, evidently.
Well, let me say,
and that's what we're trying to get free of. That's the whole Q movement, the whole military intelligence that got Trump into power. You know, that's happening right now. Did you know the spy satellites and the servers went down on Friday? They took down
Friday?
It's called Snow White. It's very, very, very important. Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs went down. That's the seven talking about the main servers for the CIA and the deep state. And the satellites went out, and a lot of people who were traveling, trying to use GPS on Friday, all sorts of very weird stuff was happening with the GPS because these satellites were going offline. So what do you do right before an offensive? You take out the enemy's communication. Okay, so now the 50,000 indictments are being unsealed and acted on. You see, it's like in process right now.
It's very, very
interesting.
I'm sorry, which Friday are you talking about, and what are the 50,000 indictments?
There are 50,000 indictments, sealed indictments right now. Now, normally, in a normal year, you'd have 1,000. Remember Trump promised to drain the swamp?
Yeah.
He's draining the swamp. The 50,000 indictments are going to be unsealed. He's going to declassify the FISA document. All of this is what Q is talking about. Q is a group of military intelligence that works closely with Trump that is outlining everything that's to happen. So the day before Saudi Arabia got cleaned out, Q posted that Saudi Arabia was going to get cleaned out. You know, it's like, we know that
it has to be military intelligence because of all of the drops that were done, like pictures from Air Force One were posted, you know, things that unless you were an insider, you would never be able to take that picture. So, and then the mainstream media was attacking Q like crazy because, of course, Q is such a threat, you know, because they're in the process of taking the deep state down. It's a really exciting time right now. There's a second American Revolution going on. You know, you were talking about the secret space program. There's actually two components of it. There's the alliance, or the good guys, and then there's the cabal, or the not-so-good guys, the CIA-infiltrated stuff, just like in everything. It's in the FBI, it's in the DOJ, it's in the military, it's in the secret space program. So every organization is infiltrated by these people that don't have good ethics and are part of this bigger plan to enslave the planet and reduce the population. So basically what happens is right now Trump promising to drain the swamp, that's exactly what he's doing. This military plan started in 1972, so this plan is a long time coming. But it's a very important day on Friday when the satellites and the servers went down.
Which Friday, Susan, are you talking about?
Last Friday. A week ago.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So just for our listeners, that would be August 31st.
Right.
Okay. Yeah, just because people may listen to this at many times. That's 2018. So, well, you know, it's extremely interesting because, you know, I'm not a real fan of Trump. And, you know, I'm sure that, you know, you and I both are working for the light, but of course I have troubles with, you know, the sexism, the racism, the neo-Nazis,
much information are you getting from the mainstream media, and is that information correct? I'm sure that later on a lot's going to be revealed, but you really can't trust anything coming out of the mainstream media because it's controlled. It's called Operation Mockingbird. You can look it up. It's controlled by the deep state. And there's been a lot of accusations that had no merit and had no grounds. You know, they were anonymous sources. And they're really intensifying right now. You know, they're trying to say there's a group around him that's trying to stop him and, you know, just a whole bunch of stuff. But when you really look at it, it's all anonymous sources. And then when they mention anybody, they go online on Twitter or whatever, it's usually on Twitter, and say that that's not true. Okay. So there's a massive war going on. And if you're not following the Q drops and the alternative media, you're getting a very, very skewed picture of what's actually happening. And so but you know, you can see it later. Later there'll be movies, there'll be books on this, this is going to be a very, very, very important time in history. Trump ran for president because he was asked to by a group of generals that had a plan to take the deep state down. Trump didn't want to be president. He actually was asked to be president and decided to do it because he's a patriot. Okay. I mean, he is. You may not like a whole bunch of other stuff about him, but I would challenge you to find one billionaire that doesn't have sex scandals. You know, it's unusual. You know, a lot of them pay people off to, you know, even if they might not have been involved with them, they just don't want the scandal. So, I mean, when you have billions, then, you know, sometimes it's just easier to pay people off. But basically, you have to understand that this is probably the most important time in history other than the American Revolution, and it's critical what's going to happen. And so it's happening in the next few weeks. Trump probably is going to announce who is responsible for both 9/11 and 3/11. That's Fukushima and, of course, the attack on the towers and the Pentagon. That probably will be done during September, and those people will be arrested and held accountable. Won't that be exciting?
Well, we're definitely living in exciting times, and I know that there really are on both sides of the equation, and I think that's one of the ironic things is that there are good people on both sides. There are good people who really do not like Trump at all. I happen to be one of them. And they're good people who think that Trump is actually, as you were saying, you know, a force for good who's breaking up the cabal. And I think that we're all, no matter which position we're taking, we're all really interested in the same thing, which are legislators of integrity who are working for democracy and the freedom of the people, and not, you know, dictatorships, not, you know, oligarchies, not tyrannical, you know, underhanded, lying, cheating, you know, stealing, killing, and, you know, the rich get richer. And
trying to start World War III.
So,
Uranium One, for example, okay? When all the stuff comes out about Uranium One, it's going to be an amazing story. It really will.
Well,
I mean, we know, I mean, the people that listen to Q already know the story. The story is already known because the military, and you know, the military is handling it. But essentially, when the real story comes out, it'll be amazing.
Well, you
probably
know more
about
that than I do. One of the things that I would like to talk about, if you don't mind, just shifting gears a little bit, is that there are some wonderful people all over the world, but definitely here in America, that are trying to raise the vibration of the consciousness. And there is a conference, that two events that are coming up this fall people should know about. One of them is the Portal to Ascension Conference. And the website for that is ascensionconference.com. And it is the very first week in October, October 5th, 6th, and 7th. And it's at the Atrium Hotel in Irvine, California. So that's really, I think it's the Atrium Hotel literally at the airport, in Orange County Airport. And it's a great conference. It's going to be all day Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And there are some amazing people. Robert Scooch, who is the geologist who figured out that the weathering pattern on the Sphinx means that it was once completely covered by water during the time of the Great Flood. So that would predate the Great Flood from about 12,000 years ago. Grant Cameron, who's definitely talking about UFO disclosure. Myself, I'll be speaking about the Mayan prophecies. My dear friend Alan Steinfeld, who has New Realities Television up in New York City, he'll be there. Paula Harris, that's a woman, she's speaking about space beings visiting Earth. She's from Italy, and she's coming over to speak. There's a former FBI agent who's actually going to be speaking. John D'Souza was going to be speaking.
Amazing information.
It's incredible.
He was talking about all the assassination attempts that Trump has had on Project Camelot. Really amazing stuff.
Well, anyway, this is an amazing conference. It's only $222 for the entire darn weekend. And it's the first time Portal to Ascension has done a live conference. For 5 or 6 years now, they've been doing incredible webinars. I've probably done at least 12 amazing three-hour webinars for them on things like Atlantis and Antarctica and so forth. But this is a live event. It's put it on your calendar, everybody. And if you can get into Southern California, usually fly into the John Wayne Airport. But, you know, if you go to the website, you can click on them, you can call them, and, you know, just chat with them about coming in and where to stay. But it's, you know, it's real affordable. The second thing is coming up the second weekend in November, and it is the Star Knowledge Conference. And that conference began in 1996 it was a part of a prophecy, a Native American prophecy, that there would be a time when the Native people would bring their knowledge to the world stage and unite with all the other races. And Lauren Standing Elk is the one who began that. And then in 2000, he had this whole huge experience where Archangel Michael came to him, and it changed his name to Chief Golden Light Eagle. And so I actually just did an interview with him that will be in the October issue of the Oracle magazine that's all over the Southeast, wonderful magazine. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be at Amicalola Falls, which is about 45 minutes or an hour north of Atlanta. And again, very affordable. Starts about 4 o'clock on Friday and then goes all day Saturday and all day Sunday. And it's November. I have to look on my little calendar to tell you exactly.
It's around the 11th.
It's right. Yeah, let's just see. September, October, November. Let me look on my calendar. It is I think it's the 8th, 9th, and 10th, if this is my 2018 calendar. No, it's 2019. So I guess let me look on my cell phone and see what the actual dates are for that event. It is November the 9th, 10th, and 11th. And yeah. I'm sure you can go to starknowledge.com or starknowledge.org. They're just mm-hmm. getting all of the stuff up, but I'll be speaking there actually on Atlantis. And that's going to be part of the focus, is how we're at a similar place. You know, Atlantis was a great civilization that was all over the world and became very advanced. And for a long time, you know, we cultivated powers of telepathy and telekinetic ability, and we did pretty well. We actually had a big golden age there for a few thousand years. But then, just like today, we kind of fell into the same power struggle between the good and evil, the people with greed mm-hmm. and wanted power and control, and the people who were more for unity consciousness. And eventually, because of our misuse of technology, genetics, sexuality, and things that actually could harm and destroy the Earth, Atlantis was taken down by, you know, an asteroid that created a fracturing of the Mid-Atlantic Ridge and then created the Great Flood. And so, mm-hmm. Of course, we live in Atlanta. And Atlanta, right. You know, there's a lot of souls in this area that are reincarnations of people that were doing the light work in Atlantis. And, of course, mm-hmm. you know, we have the National Reserve Bank. The Federal Reserve Bank is here. So, you know, Atlanta's a wonderful city, and you actually have a very strong high consciousness community here. And so I'm really hoping that the Southeast, the people in Nashville and Asheville and the surrounding areas will actually come to this conference. And, again, I'm sure it's very reasonably priced. They're going to have some amazing speakers, including some of the Native elders that are going to be coming forward and releasing and sharing secrets that they have kept hidden about the history of the Earth, about the star beings that have been down here interacting with us. And every mm-hmm. one of these conferences that I've been at, and I've spoken at 5, and they've probably been 50 of them, UFOs have shown up. So it's a really cool experience. Mm-hmm. where we do sweat lodges and processes and ceremonies as well as teaching. So I think it's just important to get the news out about both of those events.
Yeah, that's great. I think that that there are a lot of really wonderful conferences now that people can educate themselves. And I've been educating myself on the YouTube videos that are coming out as well. There's just a lot of really good information on everything we've been talking about today. Corey Good, some of the other whistleblowers for the Secret Space Program have a huge amount of information on Antarctica and the other, like you say, the battle between good and light, which is extending even out into space now. And I don't know if you heard Cliff High talk, but he said that if you use the night vision goggles, you can see all of the ships and battles going on in the sky because it goes through their cloaking devices. So if you actually want to watch
really
it,
that's really interesting.
Isn't that interesting? He put some pictures up on the YouTube video, and you wouldn't believe the size of some of these ships that are right over us.
Oh, you have
so,
to see.
I think it was something in Alabama that just happened, where there was something about a space battle and something fell out of the sky and a whole bunch of people saw it. And
well, you have got to send me those links. I would love that. That'd be great.
Yeah,
well,
it's Cliff High being interviewed, right.
Well, you know, I've just launched this incredible class on ancient Egypt, and so we spoke about that in the last show. But, mm-hmm. you know, it's interesting because that online university that's called Sacred Stories Media, and I've now done 3 classes for them, one on the Lost Years and Secret Teachings of Jesus, one on Mary Magdalene, the quest for the Holy Grail, and the importance of bringing the divine feminine back into balance with the divine masculine, and then this mm-hmm. third one on the Egyptian mysteries. They have just asked me if I would create a couple of more classes for them, and you know, it's very interesting because they're actually on a pretty advanced page as well. They haven't gotten into politics and conspiracy stuff, but I know they're also publishers, and they've just released this very interesting book called Roya Sands. And it's literally just on, I think it's just gone up on Amazon and was like the number two bestseller in the last week or two. It's R-O-Y-A, Roya Sands, S-A-N-D-S. And it's, quote, a fictional story, but really it's a story about us and what's going on right now with these groups that we've been talking about, the inner earth people, those of us who live on the surface who are working for consciousness, and then, you know, the people who are involved in the secret government that really want to close down our spiritual gifts and sort of keep us as, you know, slaves, basically. And it's really a remarkable book. I've read about 300 pages of it, so I'm coming in towards the end of it now. But I'm going to send out a newsletter about it, because it's probably the only fiction book I've ever read that basically is talking about what's actually true.
Right. You know, one thing that really surprised me from the whistleblowers' stories, which Randy Kramer, Elena, and Corey Good, all and other whistleblowers, have all said the same thing, is that the cabal really highly values intuitive gifts. So if you're intuitive, you run a risk, and they find out you, and especially if you come from a military family, you run a risk of being inducted into the secret space program because of your intuitive gifts. And it's so interesting hearing how those gifts are used. Like Corey said, his gifts were used during meetings with extraterrestrials. These are mostly trade meetings, by the way. But he would be brought in along with two other intuitives, and all they would do is just monitor the extraterrestrials for any deception. Okay, so
it's the humans that are mostly doing the deception. That's what's so interesting.
Well,
but the
cabal values these gifts and uses them. I mean, it may not use them for, you know, high level, you know, ethical things, but they're certainly valued a great deal. And
it's
Randy
just like
Kramer,
Hitler,
he was a pilot in the secret space program. He said that they do psi scores. They don't call it psychic; they call it psi, psi, and they actually make you take tests and you get a psi score. And the higher your psi score, the more you can advance within the secret space program. Unlike the regular military, which, you know, I mean, you would think intuition would be very important when you're on, you know, on patrol in Iraq. You know, I mean, good Lord, you know, one wrong move or going down one path can get you blown up. But our military doesn't really use the psi stuff like the secret space program does. So that's fascinating to me.
Well, it's the same thing as Hitler. I mean, the whole thing with Hitler started...
Yeah, he did the same thing. You're right.
And he was in prison, and he was studying all this stuff, and then he got involved with the Thule Society, and they were doing channeling and seances to try
to
contact ETs that they were convinced to help seed the planet, who they thought incorrectly were from Aldebaran, which is not true. Although Aldebaran does have good people on it, but it wasn't them. And then once he got into power, in order to break a prisoner, they would have a circle of the SS people in one room psychically putting all this pressure on the person in the next room to try to get him to talk. And yet he actually tried to outlaw the regular people from getting access to these gifts, as if you can do that, because it's these gifts lie dormant in all of us. Of course, like any muscle, they have to be developed, but all of us have inner sight, inner hearing, inner knowing, inner feeling. We all have intuition. We all dream. We all have access into the inner planes if we're willing to develop it. But, you know, it's the same kind of thing. They were trying to use it for their own purposes, for power, and discourage it in the normal people. It's either you work for us.
Well, back then, there was all these secret societies. I mean, you couldn't go into a metaphysical bookstore and buy this stuff right off the shelf like you can now. And there was penalty of death if you ever published it, you know. that was the time of the secret societies. You know, we didn't have any freedom of metaphysical information.
Well, of course,
if you weren't part of the secret society,
a lot of the reason behind that, though, is the Catholic Church, because the Catholic Church considered that the development of these spiritual gifts was, you know, had to be sanctioned by them, or you were considered to be, you know, Satan's child or something.
Right,
and so, you know, the Druids, all of the earlier mystery schools, the Egyptians, the Greeks, the Buddhists, mm-hmm. all of them understood that we all should have access to these inner planes, that we all mm-hmm. should have access to begin to develop these spiritual talents and gifts, from healing to dreaming, as the Aborigine would call it. But the Catholic Church did not want people to have either outer access, which is why they burned so many of the libraries, including the Library of Alexandria, 700,000 volumes, scrolls, and books. But they didn't want to have inner access either, so they built in fear. You know, you will go to hell if you explore any other path. You will be burned at the stake.
A lot of Christians believe that today. I mean, that's been passed down. Christian belief systems,
A lot of the reasons that these sacred societies became secret is because there was an underground stream of wisdom or knowledge that was being passed through the centuries, many times keyed into hermetic symbolism in paintings mm-hmm. and art and sculpture, to let one initiate know after another. So when the, quote, secret societies began to surface in the 1800s, one of the first ones and the great ones was Madame Blavatsky, who was, you know, a Russian princess who was actually wound up going for 3 years and studying in the caves with the masters in Tibet, came back, mm-hmm. and literally the crown princes of Europe were sitting at her feet, and she was trying to prove that spirit is greater than matter. And that was the mm-hmm. whole thing, because what had happened is, we went from the superstition and ignorance that was fostered by the Dark Ages by the Catholic Church, to the Lutheran Reformation, and mm-hmm. and to the awakening of science. And science had to divorce itself from spirit in order to mm-hmm. even be allowed to exist. And of course, now we're seeing a re-merging between science and spirituality, which I'm thrilled to see. And scientists like Michio Kaku and Brian Greene, quantum physicists who understand the link between thought, consciousness, and matter. Thank goodness. But
all you have to do is understand multidimensional aspects to be able to converge science and spirituality. It's just impossible if all you recognize is just one dimension. You know, the third dimension. That's it.
Yes,
you can't reconcile it. Yeah.
That's why the Catholic Church, they basically said, look, there's heaven, there's hell, and there's earth. So do what we say, and you'll go to heaven. Don't do what we say, and you'll go to hell. So all the multidimensional levels of reality, the astral, the emotional, the mental, the causal, the spiritual, the Buddhic planes, all of these planes disappeared into this very simplistic version of either you're going to heaven if you obey us, or you're going to hell. And certainly, you know, there are some great things that have been done by people in the church. There are millions of acts of kindness and charity and love and support and fellowship. So I'm not trying to put the idea of the church down. I'm simply saying that what started off as an inspired and beautiful movement eventually kind of wound up having a lot of political power, money, and control mm-hmm. attached to it. And when people of power, money, and control, instead of true spiritual enlightenment, are running the show, then, you know, they start, you know, feeling threatened by anything that might, you know, affect their money stream or their power stream. And that's mm-hmm. what I think happened over the centuries with, you know, with traditional Catholicism. But there's still much beauty there.
And I'm sure there's battles within the Catholic Church, too. You know, there's sections in the Catholic Church battling other sections in the Catholic Church, just like in all of the institutions we mentioned earlier. You know,
you definitely see it with people like John Paul, who was such a wonderful pope and such a inspiration to the world, and then Ratzinger, who became Pope Benedict and wound, and was Opus Dei, and he wound up resigning because he was all involved with the pedophilia rings. Mm-hmm. And now you have Pope Francis, who seems to be lovely. He seems to be a really, you know, a light in the world. Mm-hmm. And so your point
is a battle. It's a battle,
yes.
Like you say. Sometimes the dark forces get in power, and other times the light forces get in power. There's been other popes. The pope that was shot, you know, he was a very light being.
Yes.
You know,
so, again, no
institution is all good or all bad. I don't care whether you're talking about a school system or a university or a government body or, you know, a metaphysical group. You're going to have those good versus evil
components,
you know, conversations going on, and this is
yes, you are. You are indeed. And I always love having these conversations with you because, you know, you and I are both on the same page. Although we have different views on Trump, we're going towards the same place. And I think it is very difficult for a lot of people to discern, you know, exactly what's going on. Because, you know, it just depends on the station you turn to as whether they're, you know, making Trump the hero or making Trump, you know, the enemy. And it is difficult for the average person to figure it out.
I would like to say he's somewhere in between. But I read an article yesterday that put a lot of light on the subject. It was called Sun Tzu, who wrote The Art of War. And the article I read, which was great, was called Sun Tzu and the Trump Doctrine. In other words, when Trump wrote The Art of the Deal, he was really describing the art of war. And The Art of War is a really classic text that is quite important if you're going to be engaged in any conflict. So Trump has been engaged in conflict for most of his life. I mean, that's what he does. That's it, these business deals and these. And anyway, so if you read that article, Sun Tzu, I think it's S-Z-E, S-Z-U, Tzu, whatever that is, it's the author of The Art of War and the Trump Doctrine. And you will see how Trump is perfectly, perfectly created. All of his past, all of his past lives, everything has come to present him as being the perfect, and it's great that David Wilcox calls him a battering ram. He is the perfect person to drain the swamp, okay? Now, I'm not saying he's a saint. I'm not saying he's you know, a good person to represent our country, you know, in every diplomatic circumstance. I'm not saying any of that. But what I'm saying is I think it's perfect for what he's doing right now. Because what he's doing right now has never been done before, okay? And it has all to do with the art of war. And
he didn't actually write The Art of the Deal. He hired a ghostwriter, and the ghostwriter told me he followed him around for 6 months, and that the most attention he could give him was 5 to 10 minutes. And so finally he just wound up parking himself in Trump's office and listening in on every single conversation.
Right, but he was watching what Trump was doing, which is important.
He was watching what he was doing. He also discovered that half of what Trump told him was actually a lie in terms of a lot of his business dealings. So, you know, he wound up
right, and if you read The Art of War, you'll see why that's important. Okay.
Telling lies.
What I'm trying to say is, in other words, you're not going, like, if you look at any great general, General Patton, any great military leader, you're not going to see somebody who's a really good person. Okay. They're about deception. They're about psyops. They're about lying in order to position yourself so that you can win. Okay. That's all I'm saying is that I believe he's the perfect person to be in this situation because of what is happening right now. And again, you can't say what is happening from the mainstream media. It's very, very skewed. you have to, I mean, what I recommend people do is just wait until the movie and the book comes out. Because when the movie and book comes out about what really is happening, everybody will just be amazed that so much planning and so much, so the art of war was used in this. And it is really amazing. I'll give you a little example of what I'm talking about. This is what, this is like an example of it. A guy comes out and says, Hitler was stupid. Hitler fought on two fronts. He fought the Russians and he fought, you know, the alliance, the Americans and, you know, the whole alliance. But he had two fronts and therefore he lost. He said, in the art of war, what you do is you get America and Russia to fight each other. And then when they're both weak, you go in and take them over. Do you see? That's the art of war. So it's like it is deception. But it is also what's needed to defeat an enemy.
It's definitely Machiavellian politics. And from my point of view, I'm really interested in leaders with honesty and integrity. And so, you know, we may have different views on this, but, you know, it'll be interesting to see how it all turns out, won't it?
Well, if Trump drains the swamp, we will have the opportunity to have leaders with integrity. Okay, remember what I said, that a great number of the judges, of the Congress, of any arena that you look at has been compromised and has to do what the cabal wants them to do? That's a corrupt system. Now, if Trump is successful, and it's not just Trump, it's really this military intelligence around him, this plan that he is just a part of. If that is successful in draining the swamp and getting rid of this system, then we can have honest politicians. Do you see how important that would be? Because you don't have the possibility of having that. I mean, everybody gets corrupted. And you'll see that when everything comes out. I mean, all I'm saying is that we're in an amazing thing. Wait for the movie, wait for the book, and when you see everything, how it was laid out, how it was planned, it's really quite brilliant. And again, that was a military intelligence plan to take the cabal down, drain the swamp, and Trump is just one piece of that chess game. So, you know, that's my view on it anyway. So we'll see what happens, you know. It's in progress right now. So if in the next week Trump addresses you via the emergency broadcast system because he needs to bypass the mainstream media, pay attention to what he has to say because it's going to be important. So anyway, as Q said, enjoy the show. He always says, enjoy the show. This is a show.
I think
it's a very important time. So, but thank you so much for joining me today. It's been great talking to you.
Yes, it's always wonderful talking with you too. Thank you so much.
Can you just give your contact information before we sign off?
Yes, there's a thought. My website is www.trishamcannonspeaks.com. And that is TRICIAMCCANN. So TrishaMcannonSpeaks.com. And the Portal to Ascension Conference, I think AscensionConference.com is the one for October, and then the Star Knowledge Conference. So
wonderful.
Google them, and thank you so much for having me.
Thanks, Tricia. It's been a great conversation, and I would encourage everybody to get Tricia's newsletter and look at her online courses. She used to give a course here in Atlanta where everybody would fly in or, you know, have to take it, but now she gives it online, and that's wonderful because everybody can take advantage of that.
Thank you so much, Susan, and I look forward to the next time, honey.
Okay, take care. This is Dr. Susan Kalb with Temple of Health Radio Show. Please join us next week. Frank Joseph will be with us, Military Encounters with Extraterrestrials.